Our theme this year is Changed by Jesus, and the idea is that, you know, we would remember that we are different than we used to be. We are different than the world is. We should be very different. And so we've looked at a few aspects of that. One is relationship. We don't serve a God who's distant, but we serve a God who wants us to call upon Him, Abba Father. That's an intimate, daddy-type relationship. And so it's important that if we are changed by Jesus, that we walk with Jesus, that we know Him. He knows us. Last week we talked about as being changed by Jesus, we are dead to sin. Sin is not something that we should develop a tolerance for. Sin is not something that we're just trying to cut back on. It's something that we died to. And so today, if you thought last week's was difficult, try this one on. Unoffendable. Our Wednesday night class, one of our Wednesday night classes in the fellowship room, we've been studying this topic. We're on our second quarter. And the reason we went two quarters is not that I had two quarters worth of material so much as it's taken us two quarters to just get started being unoffendable. And so if that word trips you up, just think of it this way, being less offendable, right? Less offendable. We live in a society in a day and time where everyone's offended, right? Everyone's offended by something, and we're not immune to that. But I search my Bible for the places where it tells me I have a right to be offended at people, and I can't find it. I can't find it. And for the sake of our lesson today, if you have in your mind, well, I think once in a great while we might have a reason. If that's the thought in your mind, I will concede that once in a great while, maybe there's a God-approved reason for us to be offended, but the vast majority of the times we get bent out of shape with somebody, we don't have a good reason. We don't have Scripture that says, good for you, you should be mad at them. Instead, what we have in Scripture are things like love your enemies, turn the other cheek, yield. You know what yield is? That's you stop, you just let them go. Yield. Sacrifice. Scripture says, count others more significant. And 1 Corinthians 4:12 says, when we are cursed, we bless. That's changed by Jesus. When someone curses you, you bless. When someone curses you on the road with a gesture, you bless. I don't know that there's a good blessing gesture, so I don't recommend that. I'm just saying, in your mind, changed by Jesus and being unoffendable means when we're cursed in that way, in our mind, we say, God, help them. Amen. Help them, right? So, unoffendable. The truth is, we are often shocked and offended at the world. Have you ever had this thought where you think, I can't believe people can be so, right? Fill in the blank. I can't believe people can be so selfish, can be so rude, can be so inconsiderate, can be so, right? Whatever. Mean. I have an example for you. This is one we talked about in class, in our Wednesday night class. One of our members is the car parked on the right, the white vehicle, the little SUV. That's a good parking job. Good parking job. Now the pickup there in the middle, that's not one of our members. And if you come out and that's your car on the right, how do you feel? And in our minds we think, I cannot believe people can be so, right? Whatever it is. And as this scenario turned out, actually this was an older woman who was not doing well, had no clue that she was over in this way. But how often we get offended at people. Look at John 2:23. Was Jesus shocked and amazed? Was he shocked and offended at how people can be? John 2:23 says, "Now, when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover feast, many believed in his name when they saw the signs that he was doing, but Jesus, on his part, did not entrust himself to them, because he knew all people and needed no one to bear witness about man, for he himself knew what was in a man." Jesus knew what people were like. He knew they were selfish. He knew they could be rude. He knew they could be mean. He knew they could be fill in the blank. Right? In fact, we have a good scripture, this is a good time for me to tell those that are in the class Wednesday night, you're going to get some new stuff today. But some of the old stuff you're getting, we're still nowhere near where we need to be. And trust me, when I work on these lessons and then I test them out, when I get mad at stuff, I test them out. You talk about us being unoffendable, we're miles away from it. So don't think you've got this down. Jeremiah 17:9, look at this one. "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it?" You have a sick heart. Turn to your neighbor and say, "You have a sick heart." Tell them, don't be shy. You have a sick heart. Right? Do we know what that means? You're not supposed to say you're a sick individual. It's the heart. Just the heart. The point of this verse is you cannot trust your heart. The fact is, we think other people are rude. Guess what? So are we. We think other people are inconsiderate. Guess what? So are we. We think other people are selfish. We all have a sick heart. And Jesus was not the least bit surprised when people acted wrong. And so one point today is people are selfish by nature. In my house, I'm a snacker. You know how you have some of us enjoy food way too much, and I'm in that group, and some of you are sweets people. You know, this time of year, Halloween, you're digging it because this is your stuff. Me, I'm a salty snack person. I'm a chip, crackers, any of that kind of goodness, right? And so I tend to, that's kind of my go-to a lot of times, too many times, and when I snack, I don't just... Some of you are moderate people and you snack just a little bit. You just get a handful. Go in there and get a handful of something and go sit down and eat it. No, I take the box, the bag. It doesn't matter how big it is. And I go too far. And so I've been accused in my house of being a chow hound. A chow hound. And I cannot honestly completely refute that. I tend in those situations to get a little selfish. I'm not thinking about anyone else. I'm just enjoying. We are selfish. You are selfish in nature, and so is everyone else. I'm saying our nature. I'm not saying that's how we live and act, but it's in us to be that way. Now, we're to be changed. We're to be changed by Jesus. So the way we live, we have to do it consciously. We have to do it purposefully. We have to work at it, don't we? To say no to me and yes to God. So someone flips you off when you're driving, and you better say no to you, right? Because you want to say yes to you. But to say yes to God is, God, I yield. I will yield. I will pray a prayer of blessing for them. James 1:13 says, "Let no one say when he is tempted, 'I'm being tempted by God.' For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire." You could add the word, you could, in my mind, own selfish desire. That's what this is talking about. It's your own. We have a desire to do what is sin because it's selfish. The other day, sometimes our problem really is more with us than even other people. But the other day I was upset. I got offended and I was irritated And then, so I had to kind of stop and think and figure myself out here. Why are you so offended? You know, Elliot, you're not supposed, you know, we're supposed to be unoffendable. You're teaching this class on being unoffendable. So what's your problem? And anyway, I could talk to myself and realize one thing I learned was, you know what? I'm crabby today. Why am I crabby? Because I didn't get enough sleep last night. Why did I not get enough sleep? Because I was watching TV and I knew I should have stopped and gone to bed and be an adult and get the amount of sleep I need. So part of what I was frustrated about that day was me. But how often when we're irritated at us, we don't blame us. No, I'm going to blame everyone else who's on my nerves today. When in reality, I'm a big part of that. It's our own desire. We have a problem with us. Have you ever been late to work and you're rushing and people are in your way and they're not driving right and you're mad and you're foaming and spitting and saying things you shouldn't say, and when in reality, it's your own fault for not leaving the house earlier. Right. You're the one that left late. Why are you mad at everyone else? And so we're all in this same boat, and we should not be shocked when people act selfishly. We should not be shocked. Number two, that's point number one. Number two, Satan is active. My football team lost yesterday. That's not a feedback question. I'm just starting something out. My team lost yesterday. And in fact, the way you're supposed to act, by the way, in case you want to know, is what Kenny did yesterday. I was at Quick Trip getting gas, and this car pulls up, and they stop, and Kenny gets out, and he walks over to me. Doesn't say a word. He doesn't say a word. He just holds his arms out. He said, bring it in. Bring it in. And he bear hugs me. I shed a couple tears. We had a good moment. That's how you deal with somebody whose team lost. But I used to get irritated when my team lost because the thought was like this. My team was better than that team. My team should not have lost that game. That is ridiculous. This stuff should not even happen. Right? And yet, that's what's fun about sports. Honestly, you don't know what's going to happen. But something I came to understand years ago is, guess what? That other team was trying too. You know, the other team practices too. They train too. They strategize too. They had a game plan. They coached. They played. So we are bewildered sometimes because we think only on one side of something. And when it comes to people, we say, God is good all the time. God is working all the time. Guess what the devil's doing? You think the devil doesn't win any? Does the devil win sometimes? He's the prince of this world. He wins a lot of times. Wide is the gate that leads to destruction. Most people, the devil's winning. And going to win. And so 1 Peter 5:6 is a good passage on this. And incidentally, in this verse, this is a great verse for this whole sermon. Just take one verse. If all you can handle is a little bit, just take this. There's 3 points in this verse to help us be unoffendable. First one is humble. Humble yourselves. Our biggest problem is us. Why do we get irritated at people? Us. Because we think we're too much. We think too much of our thoughts and our ideas. And we think the world revolves a little bit too much around us. We just think about us a lot. And when people get in our way, it amazes me. When they're in my way and I'm trying to get somewhere, I'm irritated. And then the next day, I'm not trying to get somewhere and they're tailgating me and I'm irritated then. We're just irritated. Because we overvalue how important we are. We need more humility. Therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you. And that's what change by Jesus means. You don't have to worry about taking up for yourself. God will take up for you. Amen. God will take up for you. Verse 7, casting all your anxieties on him. Giving it to God. That's the second part of becoming unoffendable is let God worry about it. Someone cuts you off, gives you the gesture. You say, God, that one's yours. You can handle them. Right? When people act up, God never said, you make the world act right. church. Go get them. So give it to God. And then verse 8, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls. We have an adversary. Your problem is not with people. Your problem is with the devil in people. That's our problem. It's not people. And sometimes we get frustrated. You may have said in your mind, you probably have a little saying that says something like, you know, people really get on my nerves sometimes. People really, however you fill in the blank. Some of y'all's blanks need to reword that to a Jesus wording. Talk better, right? Change by Jesus. Clean up your language. Our problem's not with people. It's the devil in people. We should not be shocked when people act selfishly and sinfully. All right, what about offended? Now that I'm not shocked anymore, I'm depressed because people are so bad, but what about being offended? Can I not be a little offended? I think Peter came to Jesus with that type of mentality when he asked him, Matthew 18:21, Peter asked Jesus, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times, Jesus? I mean, how many times? Peter's probably thinking, you know, once, twice, fool me once and fool me twice. That's probably what Peter's thinking. And so it seems that Peter is exaggerating, trying to make a point. We do that sometimes. And Peter's saying, really, Jesus? You talk about forgiveness. How many, though? How many times? Jesus, seven. I mean, you really asking us to forgive seven times? And Jesus says, as many as 77 times. And the answer of, well, do I not have a reason to be offended, is what Peter's saying. Do I really have to forgive that many times? Because you know, this is ridiculous, Jesus, that they would do it that many times. And Jesus is saying, that's not your job. Your job's not to determine what's ridiculous. Your job is to forgive. Matthew 5:38, we have this passage about, so incidentally, we feel like we have a right to be offended, but now read this, because this is changed by Jesus. This is how we are to be after Jesus is done with us. You've heard it was said, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist the one who is evil, but if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. If anyone would sue you, take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who begs from you. Do not refuse the one who would borrow from you. I think we're gonna test this out this morning. I'm gonna have Brian demonstrate this for us. I'm gonna slap Brian. He's gonna turn the other cheek. Some role play. Just some practice. Do it. I've been hugged by Brian. That was not pleasant. This passage doesn't fit us, does it? Because I don't know how much of it is. As Americans, by the way, we're big on our rights. And that's okay to a point. We live in a wonderful nation that protects people. And I know it's not perfect. Our society's not perfect, but we're a lot better than most. And we're privileged. But we also tend to get a little too much about us. And somebody's not going to talk to me that way. That's not how you deal with me. I don't know who you think you are or who you think I am, but this isn't going to go like that. Does that sound familiar? That's how we feel. And Jesus says, turn that other side. Jesus says, yield and yield extra. Some have described this passage as radical self-denial. I think that's accurate. Radical. It is radical. Humanly, it doesn't make sense. But it is right. And Jesus calls us to be unoffendable. Romans 12:16. Says, live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. That's pride. Repay no one evil for evil. but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. That's a mouthful right there, that verse. Give thought. Give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. Think about it. Think about what would be honorable for you to do, even if someone else is dishonorable. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Incidentally, so pause for a second. We're not talking about life or death, someone breaking in your house, trying to kill your family. We're not talking about that. We're not talking about a child being abused or a situation of abuse. That's not what we're dealing with. We're talking about getting along with people. And verse 19 says, never avenge yourselves. Leave it to the wrath of God. That's one of the verses that tells me God is saying, Elliot, you don't have a right to get bent out of shape with people. You let me worry about that. You let me avenge. Vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. Verse 20. Here's God saying, Elliot, here's what you get to do. If your enemy's hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink, for by doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Somebody cuts in line in front of you. Someone talks down to you. They disregard you. They're rude to you. They're mean to you, etc., etc., etc. What do? We bless them. Pray for them. It's not about me, and it's not about you. It's about God and Satan. And when someone acts good to you, that's God. When someone is mean to you, that's Satan. People are selfish, A, and B, the devil's working, and he's winning some. That's what it's about. It's not about us, is it? And I'll give you one more. Let's crank it up one more notch. Look at this. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. In the church in Corinth, they were fussing with each other to the point they were going to court with each other. One brother taking another brother to court. And Paul gets on to him. He says, really? You have no one in the church that you could get to judge and help you and decide a problem and fix it? You have no one in the body of Christ? You had to go to an unbelieving judge? And then he makes this statement, verse 7. To have lawsuits at all with one another is already a defeat for you. Why not rather be defrauded? You know what defrauded means? Illegally obtaining money from. Someone has your money and they did it illegally, unlawfully, crooked, wrong. It's not how it was supposed to be. Wasn't fair. Wasn't right. And Paul says you could have someone in the body of Christ help, but if you can't do that, why not just let it go? Let them have it. Give it to them. Just be defrauded. How does that fit, by the way? How's that jacket feel? Just let them have it. It's radical self-denial. Unoffendable. So often when we get offended, our issue is pride, and we think we deserve to be treated a certain way, but the truth is, at the foot of the cross, when we surrendered our right to what we want. We surrendered our deserves. And the fact is, we deserve what God tells us we deserve. So if God tells me I deserve better in this, then I do. If God says, Elliot, you go out there and you make people treat you right. I just haven't found it, so I've looked. Go ahead. But I deserve what God says I deserve. And the reality is, God is saying, it's not about you. In our class this past week, one of the ladies in class, she shared a story, and I'm going to kind of share that as a closing example, and I'm going to embellish a little bit, all right? It's on the table. But the story goes like this. She had a conflict with someone else that greatly offended her, and so she confided in a more spiritual, godly person and was talking about this, and that person asked her the question. They said, who is your Lord? And the person who was offended said, well, Jesus is my Lord. You know, but, and they said, no, who is your Lord? Well, Jesus is my Lord. But the mentality was, but, I mean, what, but you don't understand what, you know, what happened here. Who is your Lord? And finally it clicked with the one offended. And what clicked was, that's the one I serve. And this other is not my business. That's his business. He'll take care of that. Let God take care of people. So often we think it's our responsibility to handle people. And we need to hand people to God and say, God, you take care of them. Jesus, what do you want me to do? Jesus is our Lord. Have you ever seen meet people and they'll have a young child, maybe 5-year-old child, and I'll say something to the child. Maybe I'll even try to make a joke with the kid, but the kid doesn't understand really what I'm saying. And the child will be looking at me and needs to respond, and they'll look to their parent because they don't know what's going on with me, and they're trying to get their parent to they don't know what they're supposed to do. You ever seen that? Innocence. I want to be that way when I get offended. I want to take my eyes off the person and look to Jesus and say, Jesus, what do you think on this one? What should I do here? Unoffendable. We're going to sing a song, Lord, Take Control. We need that, don't we? Lord, Take Control. We need more Jesus and less us. So I encourage you to this. It is a journey and it will take work. But what a blessing. Can you imagine living life when people really didn't bother you? It didn't surprise you when they acted up, mistreated you? What? Go ahead. Go ahead. When we weren't so bothered and upset at people. And we could say, God, help them have a better day. Obviously, they're having a bad day. And thank you for being my Lord. We're going to sing this song if you have a need, and we could help you with that. If there's something we could do, we would love to pray with you or help someone become a Christian and have their sins washed away this morning. If you'd come while we stand and sing.